All right, so it's spring break for y'all by the time y'all are seeing this. Welcome to the second Further Every Day Meme Review. Watch us as we watch our memes stray further every day. Howdy, Charles DeFiala for Further Every Day, sitting in the chair of culture, also the chair of host, that's the word. I am having an aneurysm this morning. And to my far right, I got Miss Nikki. How's it going?
Hi, I'm doing very well. How about you?
Doing all right. Glad to have you there in the chair of theology, but it's kind of loose today.
It's out to keep you all in line.
All right. And then we have Daniel reprising his role in the
Philosopher laughter.
In philosophy. So try to be philosophical when reacting to these mindless memes.
I will give you the most philosopher laughter answers that you will ever hear.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you'll ham it up. Okay, so you're truly seeing the chair culture. To my left, I got the politics, the Steve.
Not on.
He's doing the box
out,
robot.
Outside the box today.
Into
inappropriately.
I was going to say it's meme day, and that would fit very well.
It fits him. Okay, yeah. The tinfoil hat is going to come out at some point. Well, I don't know when. And then we got the Charlie.
I am here.
In economics.
Good to be here.
Glad to have you there. And then we got Rye, the producer guy. How's it going, bud?
Good. What's happening?
He says good. He has a mic there, but it's kind of off, so I'll let him figure that out. No, you got to turn it on. It's okay. All right. So with that said, he'll be there. Putting up some memes, let's kind of dive into it because I think we're going to have some fun. And Mr. Producer is going to show us some memes. We'll react. All right. Yeah, make sure you have it up on the correct window. All right. I'm going to unmute that thing for us. So this one is.
Open one. Come on, kitty.
This is how God feels? Or is this how God feels?
This is big math. This is big brain math. And this is hard, but. Kitty, kitty, come on. Come on, buddy. Yes, here I am. This is me. Come here.
So for those of you who aren't
right
on video.
Right over here. All your needs can be met. Just come this way.
It says, is this what God feels like? And there's two screens. There's a screen door and there's an open door. And the kitty is looking outside, longing to get outside. And he's looking at the outside world through a screen door. And the owner is sitting there going, kitty, there's a door right here. Big math. Big math, it's really hard, but you can come outside right here.
Not going to do it.
And like a typical cat, pays absolutely zero attention to you.
Well, they pay nothing. Cats don't pay anything, let alone attention. Goodness.
Does this how God feel? I would say yes. But he's a lot more patient. I'd probably go kick the cat towards the door.
Oh.
But you're a mom. You know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't like... bam the cat, but I take my foot, you know. But the Bible does talk about, you know, the shepherd has the staff and he guides the sheep with the staff.
Look Nikki's out there, theological.
Miss Nikki's foot is the crook.
Theology.
The one that you break the leg with. So stomp on your cat's legs. That's what you learn from further. Don't do that. That's bad. No. That's not what we're saying. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast may not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinions of Further
no
Everyday Provoked to Reason Hoffman Productions.
In this
unless it comes from me.
No.
No,
especially
not even you.
Especially if it comes from Daniel. Next meme.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so unmute it.
Be mad at a Bible y'all never read.
Y'all are mad at a Bible you never read.
The Bible say this, the Bible say that. No, it don't, because I read it, and I read that whole chapter you're talking about, and it doesn't say that. Like, oh my God, the Bible is the white man religion. There's not even any white people in the Bible.
Amen.
Besides the Romans. And they're not necessarily painted in the best light, even though Christ's for everybody. Ain't no discrimination. But Jesus won't even white. I used to be a Christian. You used to go to church with your family. And
Amen.
That is not the same thing. No hate, all love. That used to be me. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, y'all got so much smoke for the Bible, and y'all only know these stories in the Old Testament. Listen, I used to think God was tripping in the Old Testament, too, until I read it. They deserve exactly what was coming to them.
So exactly.
All I'm saying is y'all got...
Oh,
y'all
my
got
goodness.
Smoke. Okay.
Oh, I love it.
Wholeheartedly, so, I want to start with... Yeah, Daniel.
I don't want to be rude or anything, but I can't tell just from how far away I am. If those are French fries or fingernails?
Those are fingernails. She's got the long fingernails, the stereotypical fingernails of a modern woman.
Okay, just making sure.
She had gone to the nail salon before that little recording
and had French fries put on
them. And yeah, had French fries put on them for sure.
Well, but I mean, if you're having troubles biting your fingernails, I mean, I'm sure that's not a way to help.
I'm surprised, gentlemen, that that's the first thing you picked out of this conversation was her fingernails.
My eyes caught it, and then I just got distracted.
But she had some very interesting things to say there.
She had some good points.
Yes, she did.
She had very good points.
You know, and I think for me, and this goes, I don't care who you are, Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter. I've been guilty of this so many times. You get to spouting off about something, and you don't even know really what you're spouting off about. And those are great points that she was bringing up. And
I agree with her. This is not a white man's Bible. And there are a lot of people, I think from a white man's perspective, sometimes they read it and think everybody was white. I personally do not believe that Adam and Eve were white people. I just don't. Because genetically, a brown skin or black skin or brown eyes, or they have to have, those are dominant genes. For you to have blue eyes, you have to have...
recessive.
Yeah, so to me, I just don't see that Adam and Eve were white.
Yep.
Well, I just don't see it. You know, the whole genome is really summed up in Adam and Eve. In all likelihood, they were in the midtones.
I believe so, that. Brown, that's what I believe.
Like a darker Jew or Arab today is probably where you're sitting. Not the darkest, but probably not on the lighter end either. Like right in the middle, brown Jesus.
But doesn't that make sense? Right? Scientifically, that you could go darker and you could go lighter. That just makes more sense to
me. You had the purest genetic expression. I'm sorry, Hitler. By the way, Hitler bad. Okay? I'm just saying.
All in favor of Hitler bad.
Yay.
Okay.
But also, I'm going to say also Hitler stupid on this one point. The Aryan race was the most recessive set of traits, and if you had actually focused on that, you would have had a mongoloid race. So it's not as good as he thought it was going to
right.
be.
Right. Yeah.
No smoke to blonde hair, blue eyes. Okay?
I understand.
But it's not right.
Look at me, John.
Next meme.
Mm-hmm.
Next meme.
Okay.
Israelites being in the wilderness for 10 minutes without snacks. Let's go. Make sure it's unmuted, bud. All right. God can only judge me. Okay, but it's worse. Or don't you see how that's worse? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to make sure you have to check the formatting. So, okay, real quick, let's talk on that one while you adjust the formatting for the next one. Get the next one pulled up. God can only judge me. Don't you see how that's worse? Has anyone here heard God can judge me? You ever heard someone say that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
What does that even mean? So, like, what's the truth claim that they're making when they say that?
Well, it's a, how do I want to say this? Because I've come out of some hardcore legalistic ideas, you can judge people by the way they dress. Like a woman is going to wear pants. Well, you're not a good Christian because you wear pants. Well, in that category, I was, well, you know, if I don't have a conviction against it and I've studied the Word of God, I'm just not going to follow you. I'm going to let God be my judge in that predicament. However, if I'm wallowing in sin, which is very evident, I'm a liar and I'm a consistent liar, and somebody approaches me and I say, well, only God can judge me. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't fit that bill, because God is already judged through the Word of God, through Scripture.
Correct. Correct. And that's one of the scariest things, I think, when you cut yourself off from other people saying, hey, wait, you're headed towards problems. You're headed towards problems.
Okay, I will say, I am making a judgment call against a woman who has been in the news, who is committing adultery and stood at a church pulpit and said she's doing God's work. She's not. She's an adulteress.
Correct.
And she feels that people are persecuting her and she's doing God's work. She's delusional.
Wow. It's almost,
she's delusional.
It's almost like there's right and wrong, and, you know, there's
sin and
consequences.
Holy cow.
You know,
man,
this
that's
is
radical.
Maybe we should just let them go to hell without God and just be comfortable in that we were nice people. Or you can not, and you can actually tell people,
well,
hold them accountable.
Yeah,
tell them the truth.
Go figure.
I don't want to dominate the conversation here, but
you are.
When they says only God can judge me, if it's in Scripture, thou shall not lie, God's already made the judgment.
And you're just speaking to it.
That's right. I am just coming underneath the umbrella of God's judgment.
I think there's another approach, though, at looking at that.
I agree.
In the approach is such that who's going to be more harsh when it comes to the judging? Is it going to be yourself, somebody else, or God? It's God.
Well, doesn't the Bible say the word of God will be opened up and your life will be judged according to the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
But when we flippantly say something,
yeah,
and we say only God can judge me, you probably should have zipped your mouth before you even finished the thought. Because if you really realized what you just said is, you're asking for the most serious judgment that you could possibly get and sentencing to go along with it.
Shh. And who's the only one that can pass judgment?
Yeah. So you might think that you're scoring on somebody.
Yeah.
You just got scored on is what happened.
And when you think about passing judgment, when it really comes down to passing judgment, you think about it, that's judgment in regards to whether or not you do go to hell or heaven.
Mm.
So just remember that God is definitely righteous. He's not mocked. And in that vein, next meme. So you've got for those of you on audio, you have the classic Captain America Winter Soldier, my fourth favorite movie of all time, really good movie. They're in the elevator scene, and there's a little bit of truth being passed back and forth. And Chris Evans says, as Captain America, Christianity is absolutely true. The Hydra agent says, there are no absolute truths. Chris Evans looks over at the Hydra agent and says, is that statement absolutely true?
Absolutely.
Glare from the Hydra agent, full-on beat down in the elevator. All right, next meme.
Absolutely.
Absolutely true. Go ahead and get that one ready. Anyone have any thoughts on that?
Well, is this, if there's no absolute truth, then what about the statement, you will one day die? That is an absolute truth that nobody can disagree with.
Correct.
Mm.
Oh, my husband's impressed with
me
today.
I'll tell you what, she is.
That is absolutely.
She is singing. She's swinging that bat well. Baseball season is upon us, and she's cracking it.
Next meme, unmute that sucker. In that note, she's going like this feminist here, how they think it'll be. Oh, Ryan.
Oh.
Ryan. Oh. There we go.
It's going to happen.
How do feminists think it's going to happen?
Stupid little girl.
Ooh.
What actually happens.
Uh-oh.
Why would she attack me? I don't know, buddy. Maybe she works for the Democrats.
Ow.
Okay. That is really stupid. Trying to get the next one queued up.
But that's exactly how it really happened.
But okay. We've got a self-defense instructor in the chair of politics here. And so just sitting in the chair of politics just for a moment. Just let's look at this. Are there some instructors who give women a false image
Absolutely.
Of what'll happen in the real world?
Absolutely. There are a bunch out there that will feed women the idea that they can go out and beat up any guy there is that comes up and approaches them.
And Hollywood does this too.
Ooh,
Hollywood is super bad about it.
So Steven Crowder did an episode where he had his producer, who is this little 5'6", 5'7", guy, and he had him fight a Krav Maga or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, talented competitor who worked in their office, and she, you know, she's a woman. He had them arm wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And this scrawny guy who's never worked out like a day in his life puts her big. She has big body mass too, but because he's a guy and he has more dense fibers in the muscles, he just absolutely slams her fist into the table. and it's a guy who's smaller, shorter than her. As short or shorter.
You know, I took one of Steve's self-defense class, and I was shocked, actually, when, because he said, okay, Nikki, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to come up behind you and grab you, and this is the move that you need to make. When he told me what was going to happen, he told me what to do. But when he grabbed me, even though I knew it was coming, it shook me. It really, really shook me. And we went through it very slowly, do this and do that. But I thought to myself, when he did that, I thought, oh my goodness, he told me this was coming. He prepared me. What if I had been out somewhere and somebody grabbed me? I was so shaken when he did it and I knew it was coming. What would I have done if it had been somebody else that I did not know?
That's why you want to make sure that you have muscle memory and training. Practice, 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 yeah. over and over again.
And the thing I try to teach women is that when you do that sort of, when you take training in self-defense for women, women need to do not just learn techniques, but you have to go through the process of being attacked by someone over and 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 some more.
My urge to Pink Panther Kato you right in the neck with all those overs was really strong just now.
The reason being is that women get over
the fear.
That shock and that fear of it happening to them. Because if they're having the shock of me doing it to them, especially when I'm telling them, I'm getting ready to grab you and this is what we're getting, and then I do it, and then they're still shocked.
Yeah.
What happens?
See, I can talk about that, and I can still feel the fear from that day.
So,
and that was years ago.
And that's why I had this what they call a Blue Max outfit. It's all padding and everything. Yeah. And I would grab them and I'd let them beat the snot out of me.
Ladies, gentlemen, get training and get it regular and often. And if it is an issue of submission training, like your typical karate, not all karate. Okay. I'm not dogging on one martial art here, but any of these studios where you pay to play and you get a black belt because you paid, those are performative. You put this position, the person moves. No. You need actual sparring sessions with someone.
Correct.
And the objective is for you to get away, to get to your gun or whatever. You need to have actual sessions where someone's coming at you.
Correct.
That's why when Krav Maga was still pretty freaking rigid, there were only a couple hundred black belts in the United States, and they went at each other with knives, like to get to, like, I forget, it was green or whichever belt it was. Fellow instructors who owned studios weren't even black belt, and they would go at each other with actual knives that were blunt. But you could absolutely puncture wound someone, and you were going at it, and you need that kind of training, that kind of sharpening. So find someone somewhere in your area that's good. On a lighter note, this is from America's Got Talent. Go ahead and play it, Mr. Producer.
How the Fem...
Nope.
I got to play for black church and white church. White church is a little more simple. Their Jesus is simple. The chords are simple. The pastor, he gets up, he does his message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thank you, God, that whosoever believeth in him, you just have to believe, shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Somewhere between Calvary Chapel and Southern Baptist.
Church and white church. It's real simple to the point. Black church, I grew up, is different. You go to church on Sunday, and then when they preach, it's like serious. Like, put your hands together for Jesus. He's not too good. Hey, yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Put your hands together for Jesus.
All right. All right. So,
I know white people.
We've got a actual music leader in here. So
yeah,
what's your? Had you seen that one before?
Yes.
Showed up?
Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Okay. So thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. So first things first. He not really that wrong.
No.
He's not. Now, one tweak I will make is when it comes to Black church, I would equate that more with like a Pentecostal. Setting.
Yeah.
But that's really the only thing. I mean, I'm thinking back to the invitation this morning.
Yeah.
We record on Sundays. Invitation this morning. And it's like, that's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
It's pretty spot on.
So there was one church I went to for many years. It was an Assembly of God pastor who'd become a messianic Christian pastor. It was a lot more like that. Although, I'd say 20% Black, 80% white. So, yeah, you can call it a mixed church. It wasn't necessarily a Black church.
You know, it's the same message. It's just being delivered differently. It's the same message. He said the same thing.
Exactly.
He just delivered it differently. And you know what? I think we should applaud and embrace our differences.
Well, I'll say this. White people in a church can get very
stale.
Let me tell you something. If you want something to help bring you alive, just go to a Black church.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. It's going to be different. It will, at the very least, it should wake you up. And hopefully, at the most, it would wake you up spiritually. It is definitely different.
Yep. I also think it is a very good idea to get excited about the gospel.
Absolutely.
Well, and let me tell you, I know white people that have purposely gone to Black churches, and there are Black people that have purposely been in white churches.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I would dare say we could all learn from it and probably ought to go try it at the very least.
I'd like to see the end of segregation and just come together.
Yes,
yeah. I agree.
Just we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
There's always going to be a prejudice of preferences.
Yes,
and that's going to create some of it. But what I think we really need to do is we need to make sure that we're not. So I've heard people say, "God bless them." When the drums come into the church, that's the end of the. It's like, well, okay, it's the end of the Spirit being there. It's like,
right?
What did David dance to? Tambourines and cymbals and drums. Oh,
well, he couldn't have been a Baptist.
Yeah, he couldn't have been a Baptist.
You know, one more thing. I think it would be really interesting to be in an underground China church.
Oh yeah,
I think.
No, I'm sure they have drums.
You would sense the spirit there.
And it might be a totally different thing than what.
I totally agree with
because you're talking about a persecuted people.
Okay. Yep,
indeed. Indeed.
Yes, Daniel?
He tried to make a grounds joke, and I was going to say they don't have any holy grounds. They're poor and actually persecuted, and they're spending their money on things that they need, like more Bibles. Anyway, moving on to a different denomination. This is for you Calvinists out there.
Uh-oh. Oh, look
Bring
out.
It over. Transition to first, bud. There we go. Let's go ahead and play it. Yep, play it. Click. There you go. When you realize that you have free will. So she's eating the burrito from the middle. She's cutting the pie from different places. She's got her clothes in the refrigerator. She's steeping her tea in a bowl.
I love it.
Okay.
Love it. This is good.
So there's a difference, my friends, between free will and defying norms for no other reason than to defy norms.
Yep.
So that's a good question. What's the difference between a norm that should not be violated?
Brushing your teeth.
I would agree with that. Versus something that is you're able to act in accordance with grace and within free will. What makes something a mandate in the Christian life?
Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, prayer is a mandate. What makes something a mandate?
God said so.
So, where do you define that line?
That's really interesting. That's an interesting question. And by the way, brushing your teeth is only the norm in this culture. It didn't become a habit until the early 1900s. People didn't brush their teeth before then.
They also wore wooden dentures all their teeth fell out.
Not until the guy rode around in his little wagon and was selling toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pepsodent was the first toothpaste. I'm sorry. I've just read this thing.
No, that's
thing.
Okay. I want to hear it.
You're in on the toothpaste
and
thing, aren't you?
So when he created the first toothpaste, he had to educate the people why you needed to brush your teeth.
Okay.
And
okay.
So he had to promote.
So I'm going to ask you to do this one more time because because we're in a deficit for good clip material. So I need you to start off and, you know, we need the acceleration sound effect. And so this is a note to Mr. Producer. Note the time on this. So I need you to do this like it's a clip and say, a lot of people don't know this, but, and then go into Pepsodent.
A lot of people don't know this, but people did not brush their teeth before the early 1900s. It was a man who took on the toothbrush or toothpaste, created toothpaste. He had to create the idea that I need to brush my teeth. So they had to do a promotion. They had to do, you know, sales.
Did he use porcupine quills?
Clipped.
You know, people back then, when they cleaned their teeth, they would eat an apple or they would eat something to clean off the stuff off their teeth. And so what he did was his promotion was about being healthy and getting the grime. Yeah, getting the grime off your teeth and stuff. And by the way, you know, when you brush your teeth and it suds up and everything, it's not necessary to do that.
It's not necessary to have the suds.
It's not necessary to have the suds in the toothpaste or your shampoo. But people don't feel that it does a cleaning purpose unless they see the suds.
It's the only way they could keep people buying.
Yes.
Was making it
speaking
making
of people
it sudsy.
Speaking of people buying stuff, a lot of people have been buying Teslas.
Ooh.
And that's been acting very poorly for them. So SNL actually did a clip on this. Let's go ahead and run this, Mr. Producer.
Tesla owners are complaining that during the sub-zero temperatures that swept through the country, they couldn't get their cars to charge. But on the plus side, they were able to stay warm in the battery fires.
Oh, that hurt.
Let's talk about the perverse consequence of going green.
You're wasting money.
Well, not only that, but you're actually you're killing
fires.
You're killing people, and I'm not talking about people dying in Tesla car fires. Although we could certainly talk about that. I don't know that there's been too many, if any. But one of the things that we do know is that as soon as they get the Green New Deal running, their own estimate at the 2008 or 2011? I'm trying to remember. There was a global summit on global warming, and they wanted to put in what became the Paris Accords. Their estimate was between 2000 and 2100, there would be a loss of life due to the green agenda at 200 to 300 million humans dead because of a lack of logistics, a lack of heating, a lack of good agriculture, the amount of famine that would occur because we weren't able to manage and maintain irrigation systems. Would all come to between 150 or 200 million up to 300 million. And we would reduce the man-made contribution to global warming we would reduce it by 1.5 to 2%.
And just think of all the destruction that's going to happen through all of these batteries.
Hundreds of millions of lives lost. And this is one of the many things. And then you look at the batteries and you look at the fact that you kill entire towns in China worth of people because they just dump the leftovers from the lithium harvesting into the water. We did a whole podcast on that two years ago in 22.
Yes, that was horrible stuff.
It only gets
worse.
The
research I did on that was just absolutely atrocious.
I think I'm good with trying to harvest energy from non-fossil fuel. I'm okay with that. But the problem is you've brought up the issue of the lithium, and this is a very dangerous thing that people are not even really, they're not thinking about. They've got their eyes on one goal and they shut their minds off to everything else. This is a great spiritual lesson because we can do this as Christians. If we're not careful, we get our eyes on one goal, spiritually speaking, but we ignore the path to get there. And the path is worse than if we had just left everything alone. This is exactly an example of that. The batteries themselves and what it takes to make and produce those is far worse than if we just kept going with the way we are for the moment. I'm not saying don't look for an alternative. I'm not saying don't look for a way to supplement it. But I am saying use some common sense.
Well, and I want to go a step further, because everything that the Green Agenda comes from, unfortunately, is tainted.
Yes.
It's fruit of the poisonous tree in this way. You're having to steal hundreds of billions, and I used to be,
yeah,
of worth from developed nations,
yep,
to try to make it so that non-developed nations cannot develop. And you want, and there's a depopulation agenda. Bill Gates wants 500 million people on the earth. So here's where I'm going with this. Just like Abraham interacting with Hagar for a child to circumvent the promise.
Yep.
Just like Saul sacrificing right before Samuel arrived on the scene.
Yep.
What we're doing is we're trading what God gave us free will.
Yeah.
When we rob other people of free will to get our agenda for the greater good, we've stepped into God's position. Just like Abraham and Hagar, just like Saul and Samuel. When you have that situation going on, you're actually stepping into God's. Whenever you do that, it's fruit of the poisonous tree. God cannot bless it. And it always turns to refuse. It always dissolves.
One more thing to add to that. People that are listening, you may not realize this. This goes right along with the Green New thing. You have farmers in Europe. Their farms are literally being stolen, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And farmers are committing suicide. Way high rate, because they don't know what to do to sustain their families.
It's being taken away from
them. It's being taken away from them. And if you don't think that's coming here, you're not paying attention. Because if you have heard of the World Economic Forum, if you have heard the 30 for 30, I could give you others. Their goal is to get you to the point where you're eating bugs and not living off any particular food off the land.
You will eat bugs, you will own nothing, and you will be happy. By the way, I'm just going to say this.
I've eat vegetables and meat.
And meat. I've said this before off air, I'll say it on air. Klaus Schwab has no friends. He has no friends because, you know, in his World Economic Forum, you know, their Illuminati meeting when they got together, you know, Klaus, we appreciate your dedication to the movement and the eradication of 7.5 billion people. But we love you. But you can't be the one to go on air with that German accent and say you will eat bugs, you will own nothing, and you'll be happy. He has no friends, because if he did, they would say, don't we have a hot blonde or someone we can put out there that doesn't sound like a German Nazi?
Hello?
He's asking for a world. You know, he has the – he needs the cat. You know, Mr. Bond, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Like, who let him on the stage?
Yep.
Speaking of interesting events in the world, this is Officer Tatum, and we've got a fun one from him. Let's play the meme.
Want to stop men from harassing women in the workforce? Just ban women from the workforce. See, that's how gun control works.
Boom.
Is she wrong, though?
Boom.
I second that.
Boom.
Don't ask me which part.
By the way, recently, this last year,
oh my gosh,
100,000 women, is 100 or 300,000 women in Iceland, I think it was.
Was it Iceland?
They, one of those Nordic countries.
Yeah.
They went and they actually stopped.
I think it was like 80% or 90% of the women working class.
Stopped and protested for equality and women's rights.
And
HR claims went up. Production went up. HR claims were at zero.
Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch.
I'm not blowing smoke on the ladies. I'm just saying. Maybe we should find a different solution for your, or a different problem.
Well,
or different...
you're talking about a country. We don't know what the work habits are. I mean, seriously, how?
Oh, she definitely wants to run with this. Go ahead.
Let's go ahead.
It's on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Represent the female.
I'm going to just say there may be a cultural thing going on there too. You can't.
Probably not.
No, there is. There is. There
would
is.
You, would you mean what happened this last week for you?
No, they covered.
Should
the
we
guys
talk about
covered.
That?
So here's.
I don't want to talk about that, but I will say that we were. I have been exposed to a certain, you know, situation where people have different ideas about work.
I know.
Now, all right. So, if you come to work and you go to lunch for an hour, and you're gone, but you don't sit down at your desk for an hour and a half. And then an hour later, you're gone for another 30 minutes. And then you turn your phone on and you start watching television shows on your phone while you're at your desk. You're not productive.
No. That sounds like me trying to do homework.
I observed some of that at a McDonald's here this last week. And I personally, and by the way, I'm not trying to pick on McDonald's. You run into your favorite fast food store, you're probably going to be able to see this. But what she just described there is almost what I watched. I literally had made an order. Nikki and I had gone in, sat down. So we're just waiting. And it was a couple minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back up and get my food. And I literally watched the woman put the bags in the fry, or the fries in the bag, finish the order. And they watched TV on the phone and left that bag right there at the thing. Did not bring it out. To the counter. All I needed was at the counter. I was there. So what she's describing there
is a lack of work ethic. And you probably had, so here's my interpretation of that one. You had a bunch of men step in to cover the women who went to protest is what happened. And so you don't have a lack of equality. I'm sorry, if dudes are coming in to step in and take care of the stuff when you want to go out and protest equality, those guys are not chauvinists by and large, or at least they're not so bad of a chauvinist that you ought to quit work for all day.
I will tell you this. All women with the same experience and education should be paid equally as a man. I will tell you, I work in an accounting department, and we are a group of... 9 women, by the way, 9 women, and we work very well together. And we had a couple of people leave a few years back. And, you know, we've had the hardest time replacing those two positions because people come in and they don't have the same attitude and mindset of we're a team.
The two women who left were integral members, and you can't find someone who has that work ethic.
Yep.
That's correct. We're struggling because we, you know, you take into consideration the person that you're working with. In accounting, everything that I do affects everybody else. So if I don't do it well, their work isn't going to be done well because you're dealing with numbers.
Correct.
Now, let me say this. I worked in a welding shop as an inspector. Okay.
That's a dangerous place too, huh?
So I'm not standing there with a hood on and oblivious to everything that goes on while I'm sitting there welding for hours on end. As an inspector, I see everything that goes on all the time. Okay. Well, we had a lady come in who was a welder, wanted a job. And the guy was like, guy was head of the shop. And he wasn't so sure about it.
It was the first time. He was probably the first time he's been approached with that idea.
Well, not really.
Okay.
But
I was being
she
nice.
She had good qualifications and, you know, her certifications were really good. So he was like, okay, so they hired her. She was wanting the same amount of pay as everybody else with the same amount of certifications. So he was like, yeah, okay, you got the same amount of certifications. But she wasn't willing to work the same number of hours and not capable of doing the same kind amount of work as, say, haul and do your own stuff and do work like some of the guys that you would do without a helper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And by the way,
do a lot of heavy grinding.
By the way, a small man who didn't have any muscles would have this exact same problem.
Absolutely.
You would have to hire the small man and say, look, I have to get 20% of your time is loading feedstock or material on, and if you can't carry it, Bob and Joe have to come over and help you. You're going to get not $25 an hour, you're going to get $20 an hour because you just took out 20% of my workforce. It's
correct.
The same. It's the same principle. But we all agree, if you're doing the same work, it should be the same pay.
So if she can do the same thing as this guy that's been here and does this work, she should get the same pay. But if she can't do the same thing, then she doesn't get the same pay.
That's right.
So
just like a guy.
You know, it works the same way either way.
I said earlier that can be dangerous because wasn't it you that said that when you're an inspector, you're not always well liked?
Correct.
You're never liked.
Speaking of someone who is not
anybody that liked me.
Speaking of someone who is not always liked, let's talk. And we're talking about women here. We can talk about Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift fans here. This is a derogatory meme, but it'll be fun nevertheless.
Are you a Swiftie there, Daniel?
Play it. Play it. This is for you, Daniel. These are 40-year-old women Taylor Swift fans be like. About the same level of thought process.
Okay.
Taylor Swift, very, very, very talented. By the way, can you switch the two views, Ryan? Can you switch the two views for us? Because, yeah, it's a better view over here. Taylor Swift is a very, very talented artist. And I'm going to say something. I actually do think some of her music is actually very good. However, you have 40-year-old women who are singing like 17-year-olds who are still about to go to prom, and they've ditched three boys, and they're ready for the next one. They're singing the same song. Taylor Swift has been singing. She is 34, and she's still singing like a 16-year-old.
Not just that. She's trying to act like she's 17.
Well, she's
and singing
she's very
to
wealthy,
the 17-year-old.
It's crowd. Working for her. It's working for her.
She's still making money. She's the biggest artist.
I
don't know.
Wealth.
There's that point in time when it's like, hey, grow up. Okay, grow up.
Well, yeah. So she's finally with a guy. She's finally with a guy that's respectable. By the way, and can I just say this? Of all the pop stars, who's the least egregious one who's famous? It is.
Don't get me going.
It is Taylor Swift. As far as big ones, I'm sorry, it's not even close. Don't get me wrong. I don't approve of her lifestyle.
I don't know anything about Taylor Swift music. I'm sorry. I haven't heard one of her songs.
I don't know anything about her as a person.
I don't know anything about her music. So
top 50. Right. Top 50.
She's very popular.
Name me someone who is more less unwholesome than Taylor Swift on the top 50 charts. I'm telling you, I promise you, you will not find a. Now, does that mean that she's a good role model? No. But maybe
not even close.
But I think conservatives do a disservice spending all that time when Ice Spice and all these others are talking about their nether regions being in this condition or that. So I think it's kind of I think the memes are funny. I think some of our fans are brainless. Some of them. Not all. Some. For the Swifties who follow us, look, I lived with the Swiftie for 4 years. He came and stayed at our house. You remember Nathan? Uh-huh. Absolute Swiftie. I heard every freaking Swiftie song. He's an intelligent dude. I don't know what happened. But anyway, next meme. Let's go ahead and get the next one pulled up. So this is actually a serious one. Let's go ahead and play it.
You guys want to see the play they're going to try to run on Christians for the next year to try to gaslight you into thinking that it's wrong for Christians to vote for Christian ethics? Check this out.
There's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
Okay, we got a problem. Because number one, the idea that rights don't come from governments, they come from God, that's not Christian nationalism. That's this little thing called the Declaration of Independence, the first line of which says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Number two, if a government gives you rights, a government can take them away. Y'all, Christian nationalism is a scare label whose subtext is, we progressives can advocate for our values in the public square, but you Christians can't advocate for yours. Very frankly, if you're a Christian who's voting or advocating for God's values in the public square and somebody calls you a, quote, Christian nationalist, 99.999% of the time, you just need to say, yep, I'm a Christian and I love my nation.
Okay, so
spot on.
What's the name of that guy's post, his Instagram tag, Mr. Producer?
Josh Howerton.
Josh?
Josh Howerton.
Okay. By the way, all these links are in the description below. Please check out Josh Howerton. His stuff's fire, by the way. So, but what do you think? Whoever came up with the conflict of interest where the government teaches civics? Think about that for a moment. Why does the government school have the mandate to teach about how to influence the government as an individual? That's- because then you get troglodytes like this lady on the news who goes, Christian nationalists, it's not Christians, it's people who think that their rights are given by their creator. It's like, who founded the nation then? It must have been Christian nationalists by your definition.
Oops.
This is
that guy right there, spot on right. He nailed it.
Fuego.
I mean, nailed it. And for those that are listening in here, you should understand this. This is the next major move by the progressive left against this nation. And I will also advocate this. I love you, YouTube. There is one group that is going to become the core group that will be attacked in this nation. It will not be Democrats. It will not be Republicans. It will not be independents. It will not be any of those other groups. It is one group and one group only. Christians.
Christians and conservatives. Those with
the
belief.
That's the ones they're coming after. So if you are one of those that thinks that, you know, it's not Democrats, it's the Republicans. No. It's not even the Republicans they're coming after. It's Christians.
One more meme, and then we're going to get to Am I the A-hole? We're going to do two rounds of it.
What happened to
it's on the list, but we went way too long.
You could have cut one little section down of it, man. That
All right, second to the last
one. Hilarious stuff, man.
Second to the last one.
God.
Go. Man struggling to feed his family, just glad that he could help fund a war with his taxes. Come on, there's Lee Greenwood under that. Turn that Lee Greenwood on. Get his copyright struck.
Come on.
That's what I wanted to hear. Okay, cut it. So, with that said, Americans are tired of this. Actually, it's more like this unless you're in the service you're part of an org, or, you know. If you're retired, God bless you. Go ahead and bring us up bring it up on the YouTube capture, regular capture, please. We're going to watch the first minute and a half of Babylon Bee. You're going to have to scroll through your top here, buddy. Nope. We're going to go all the way over here. So, yep, go to the YouTube And we're going to play the first minute and a half of this. This is from the Babylon Bee. And so Steve, YouTube regular capture. YouTube regular capture. Thank you. That's good. And this is from Steve because Steve is all excited about
it's hilarious.
Church security for reasons we won't disclose on the podcast. It's go ahead and roll this.
The silent guardians. The unsung heroes. The holy watchman keeping your church
hilarious.
Safe from sin.
It is. There, we don't have 5 minutes and it's stealing content.
Church police is filmed on location. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty at the final judgment.
Excuse me, ma'am. Do you happen to know what time it is?
10?
Ma'am, it is 10:17.
Well, it took a while to get the kids ready, and...
Is that a coffee? Did you get that at our on-site church cafe?
Yeah.
You now? Then what is the name of that cafe?
It is called Holy Grounds.
The cafe is called Hebrews. Looks like you're gonna have to come with us.
Hebrews.
All right. So check it out. Link in the description below. Babylon Bee puts out some phenomenal stuff. So
hilarious.
Now, which one did you want to do, Daniel? Did you want to do one of the two? You were gonna do.
Okay. You know what's on the screen?
So no, we don't have it on the screen, but we're gonna go ahead and do. Okay. What? Yeah, hit okay. You're good, dude. You're good. Okay, Mr. Producer had a question mark for me. All good. So I'm going to have – actually, I'm going to have Steve read this one, and then I'm going to have Daniel read the other one. So here you go. Now, this is, am I the a-hole for being honest when my dad asked where my mom was on my wedding morning? Steve.
Yes, sir.
Get your best reading voice out. Get us a close shot of Steve.
I recently married – my beautiful wife, Amanda.
Steve.
Yes.
Give him a Steve. There you go. Good job. I love you.
You may continue now, Steve.
I'll continue.
You're on the screen.
You're good, Mr. Producer.
She isn't the biggest fan of my mom, and that is probably mutual. I don't know. Amanda knows I'm on her side and here to support any boundaries. She was concerned about how my mom would behave at the wedding and admitted to not wanting to spend any more time with her than absolutely necessary. I ended up going to my mom's husband, Chris, and asking if he had any thoughts so we could all have a peaceful day and no bridesmaids would need to accidentally spill anything. At first, he didn't want to help, but he didn't want my mom to feel embarrassed and give in. He said it was already going to be a long day for her, so he recommended no pre-wedding festivities and said he would get her out of the rehearsal dinner early.
Just remember that. Keep going.
So she had enough time in between. He took her out right after dinner and took her somewhere else. The day of the wedding, she was not invited to get ready with the bridal party or have a champagne breakfast. Instead, Chris took her to the beach for a long run. Get that energy out, you see. Get it out. Then took her to a nice breakfast, home for some one-on-one attention.
Keep going, Steve. Steve is the Donald Trump.
He had a special day planned the following day. He got her makeup done at their house and came just in time for the wedding. My stepmom, Lexi, was, however, invited to get ready with the bridal party. Ooh. I guess she told my dad my mom wasn't there, and he asked me. I told him the truth that Chris was taking care of her, as it would be too long a day for her. I guess he told someone else because my mom found out and was furious.
Oops.
She asked how I could humiliate her and
how
said,
I'm
a shitty son.
Language.
Excuse me.
You can bleep that.
As a boop son.
Thank you.
She said I could have said nothing and accused me of not loving her. She said she knows the truth, that we just don't like her or want her around. Chris also got mad and said he regretted helping me. I felt kind of bad, and after that encounter, was wondering, am I the bleep?
So you bleep A, but you don't bleep the other word? I
well,
see how it is here.
It was written out.
Okay.
I didn't want to.
Okay, so let's talk about this here real quick. Just a short version for those of you who didn't keep up with that. You got a guy whose mom and wife are not getting along. Future wife, bride-to-be. the guy gets his stepfather to distract her for the morning while she doesn't take part in the whole festivity. And then he tells his dad, divorced from his mom, who then that lady tells everyone, and mom is humiliated in front of the public, and then he gets mad at his mom.
But,
so,
but
is
stepmom
he,
is invited.
But his stepmom is invited.
Well, that was a mistake there. But
okay, so Miss Nikki, I want to ask you, as the mother of five.
And I have four daughter-in-laws.
So how would that have flown?
Well, I have a couple opinions there. Number one, I would not want to be the person to ruin my daughter-in-law's day. Okay? A wedding day is very important. And I did not, not even for my own daughter, interfere for what they wanted. I don't believe that I did. Because I believe that was their day, not my day. So if you have a very forceful personality that comes in and is very disruptive and there's problems between the two of them, it would be very selfish of you if you're the type of person that wants to show up and then cause grief. That's just selfishness. So, and there are a lot of selfish people. So the son trying to prevent this situation, I can agree with. So, you know, I will tell you, I do know a woman that the day after her wedding, the mother-in-law sent a note to her son that it was the saddest day of her life, and she couldn't believe that her son did that to her. You know, so there's some really messed up people out there.
So short version from Charlie. We've heard Steve. Steve's like, this is bad. This is low. Short version from Charlie. And then I want to get Steve.
I think Nikki pretty well said it there. I think we have to be very careful of intruding in something that's none of our business.
Yeah. Steve.
What I mean by that is that it's low on the mom's behalf to think that she has the right to impart what she wants on that day. Because it is whose day? The bride's day.
Daniel.
Period.
Not going to lie. If I was in his shoes, I would do something very similar.
So here's where I'm going to differ with all of you. I'm going to differ with all of you. They're both, the son is the a-hole and the mom is also the a-hole. And here's why. You could have told her straight out, Mom, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to twist things. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to grab your husband and twist him into my scheme. I'm going to say this. You have two options. You make it right with my future wife, and you make nice, and you can be part of the party if you get her permission. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you to not detonate my wedding day. And if I have to say that you're not allowed to come into part of it, I will tell you that if you cannot get permission from my wife, you're not invited to this. You have to get invited from her. Be straight with her. And if she continues after that, you can trespass her from the property. I wouldn't do that to my mom because my mom is amazing. And my mom would never do that to me. I know some people's moms are different.
Well,
but the son created this whole web of lies.
He's marrying somebody probably with a totally different personality. I do have to make a confession here, because one of my sons, we're Baptist and we don't dance. And my son at his wedding wanted to do the mother and son dance, and she did the father-daughter dance. And I said no, and I regret that. I mean, to this day, I regret that, because, and another thing that I think that my one daughter-in-law is, we don't approve of alcohol, and we kind of, my son knew that we didn't approve of alcohol, so I think her family wanted alcohol at the wedding, and our family did not, and there was no alcohol at the family.
Now, the question, do you not dance because you don't know how, or you just don't dance?
Well, I think that goes back to some of there's a lot of things, kind of, we just, I don't know how to say it, Charlie.
If it was me
and my granddaughters and my sisters and everything, and it was just us, we would be dancing, da 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 da. But publicly, we have never. Charlie and I made an agreement before we got married. I would never dance with another man, and he would never dance with another woman.
And that's cool. I understand that completely.
And so we just never danced. But at this day, I would make that exception for my son. And I've apologized to him many, many times how bad I feel about that.
I will also say, too, in regards to what John Arthur brought up, this is a very important reason for parents to be in on the inside when it comes to
their kids
hooking up. If you're not in agreement, you're going to have...
If your parents don't want you to marry,
what are you doing there?
Your parents need to agree with the person that you're marrying.
Thank you.
If not,
was I saying something wrong?
No.
She was just cutting you off. And so, moving forward to the next one, and then we're done because we gotta be done with the day. Okay, so we're almost there. Okay, last one. Am I the a-hole?
Okay.
Bleep. For better late than never, I guess, for expecting my coworker to pronounce my name correctly or spell my name correctly. Okay, so I'm gonna read this real fast because we're low on time. I work on a 5-person team. 4 of my coworkers are great, but one, we'll call him Larry, is a bit of a mental midget. We worked together for over 2 years. He can't ever seem to spell my name properly, and I have told him over and over again how to spell it, but it never sticks. Well, on Friday, Larry sent me an email to about 15 people and addressed me in it with my name, of course, spelled wrong. I could hold back no longer, and I made sure to hit the reply all and told Larry that none of his messages would be answered if he refused to spell my name correctly. I would simply assume that he was referring to someone else and go about my day as though he never emailed me at all. I hit the send and felt immediately better. But 20 minutes later, Larry came by my desk and looked kind of angry. He asked if we could speak privately in a vacant office. I agreed, and he closed the door. Almost immediately, he demanded an apology and said that what I had written was completely, quote, uncalled for, unquote, and that I had made him, quote, look stupid, unquote. Several managers were on that email chain, but I made sure to tell Larry that it was ultimately his decision to keep spelling my name wrong. I also reminded him that nobody had forced him to misspell my name, and therefore he needed no help from me or anyone else to, quote, look stupid, unquote. He told me that the spelling was always a struggle for him growing up, but I reminded him that he's now grown up and that he should simply try to evolve. Larry angrily exited the room, stormed back to his desk. He didn't say another word to me, but when I passed his desk to get coffee, he angrily stared at me on my way to the break room the whole time. He's the only person in the office with this problem. Yet somehow he thinks he deserves an apology from me after working with me for 2 years, all caps, exclamation mark. I honestly can't stand this guy. I've been worried all week that he's going to report me to my boss or if my boss will agree with him that my email response was unprofessional. I just want Larry to stop making excuses, but he seems determined to continue to believe he's a middle schooler. I don't know what to do. Am I the a-hole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You're
listen okay. here. This is a guy who spells his last name P-H-A-I-L-I-A.
That is not how I spell my name, but I will not. I will not reply all on you. What? I will not reply all on you.
Okay. What? So,
I people routinely misspell my name.
Let me get this straight. Yeah, that happens all the time.
It's okay.
So you are upset because this person might struggle with like dyslexia or something.
No, it's not dyslexia. Sorry. It is not dyslexia.
Okay.
You think finish. Is doing it on purpose?
Some people are bad at spelling. Me.
Well,
I'm going to tell you right off.
Okay.
I think Larry doesn't care enough to learn it.
Okay. So that you're right. Now, my name is Nikki. How many people think that I'm a man when I email them? A lot.
What? I don't,
they do. They'll reply back as Nick. Or they'll say, dear sir, or something like that. But many people think that
your own sisters call you Nick.
My dad used to call me Nick all the time. But so they would get that messed up. So, and do I get offended? No. But this guy replied to all with other managers. That was so unprofessional. As a matter of fact, if that had happened in our office, my manager would have sat down with the person who wrote the email and said, that was very unprofessional of you to do that. That was something you should have gone to him quietly. That's number one. Number two, usually when you put somebody's name in there with an email, I don't know what year this was, but their name comes up.
It was this year. It was the last few weeks.
Okay. So in Outlook, when I start putting in a person's name, it automatically generates their name. I don't have to. And then when I start my email, it's right there.
That's why I say this is not dyslexia.
This is just a lack.
This is a lack of effort.
Both of them are the a-hole here. Both of them. But one of them is only modestly, just repugnantly ignorant. And I get it. I get the, like, I'd just be like, well, I mean, I can't trust this guy to do much of anything serious, but, you know, I don't care. Yeah. If you're so focused on yourself that your name, it's like the LGBT thing. Your identity is so critical.
Guess what?
There's something wrong with you.
There's folks that send stuff to me and call me Steven.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You want to know what's on my birth certificate?
Steve.
Steve?
Steve.
Really?
S-T-E-V-E.
And that's...
I used to have my... When I was in elementary school, my teachers would call me Stephen, Stephen, whatever, and I'd say, that's not my name. My name is Steve. And they would say, what's on your birth certificate? And I would tell them, and they go, oh. But it didn't bother me, and then I got to the point to where I don't care.
Assumptions made.
I've got people who call my name is not John. It's not John. People call me John all the time.
We call you John Arthur all
Guilty.
The time.
Yeah, so I don't. Do you call me John? You
every now and again.
Yeah, okay. But see, I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me. So it's, again, a thing of if your identity's in Christ, you don't care. So maybe you should put your identity in Christ and also try to spell people's names correctly.
You know what? I haven't gotten an email from my manager because I replied to Justin and called him Josh accidentally or whatever. And she let me know. And so then I would correct it. I would go back and say, oh, I'm sorry about that. I meant Josh, not Justin. Yeah.
There are some names that are very difficult, not first names. That I'm not thinking of that, although there might be a few of those.
No,
well, I know a Shirigi.
I can think of one.
I know a Shirigi. I know a Shervin, like a bunch that I have to email. Yeah. It's like, I have to go look up their name.
Yeah.
But I go Google the name.
Yeah, there is one of my classmates, and I will not say who, but I do not have his name saved in my phone because I cannot, for the life of me, figure out how to spell it.
That's when you get with him and you say, wait, spell it for me.
Yeah, exactly. Could you please put your phone name in my phone?
Because the way it's pronounced and the way it's spelled, two completely different things.
You mean like Kuykendall?
Kuykendall. Kuykendall.
I have a friend who's a Polish guy, and I'll say, now, how do you spell your last name?
It ends with S-K-I.
S-K-I. Still got it wrong.
Polish. Spell that.
I know. I still got it wrong.
Again.
Yeah.
Polish, you know, Russian.
Yeah.
Hey, how about the
like three times.
The Swedish names or the Finnish names?
Mm-hmm.
Those are
difficult.
Very difficult. For us. So for just, them, it's
no big
Smith.
Deal.
So have some mercy. Have some mercy on your fellow person, and maybe God will have mercy on you.
Amen.
Okay. Right. So with that said, if you like this podcast, like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thank you for over 200,000 downloads of the audio. Thank you, guys. We found out there was a problem with Rumble, so we're having to direct upload to Rumble. The cross-loading was just not working, and we talked with them. They're not ready to finish fixing that.
You re-rumbled?
Yeah, so we're having to upload each one individually. Oh, so sorry about that, guys. For those of you who are subscribing, almost 100 of you there. Thank you.
Hate that when that happens.
It's been a little while since you guys have gotten some further everyday action, so we apologize.
Subscribe
with that said,
if you like the hat.
Subscribe, share. If you like the hat, if you don't like the hat, tell us why, and also subscribe to see Steve take it off next time. With that said, if you didn't like this podcast, hit that dislike button. Send multiple of two. We love you so much. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, one last thing. One last thing. What is your favorite pet, your dream pet? If you could have one animal.
Pet.
Oh.
The answer can be none, but.
Oh, I would. if I were to have a pet, it would be a dog. It would be a dog.
What breed? Do you have a breed in mind or don't care?
Charlie, remember what Lady was? She was part Basset and part...
Beagle.
Yeah. Aww. Oh, my goodness. They are adorable.
Yeah, huh?
They're adorable.
Danny.
Yeah, so I'm torn between two dog breeds, either a German Shepherd, and I can't remember for the life of me the name of the second dog breed, this is like a 300-pound bear-looking dog.
Oh, is it one of those Russian?
Barrel.
Yeah. Barrel. Yeah, the really massive ones that are like 7 feet tall. Like,
yeah.
I want one of those.
Greyhound?
No.
I wouldn't recognize it if I heard it.
Oh, the St. Bernard?
No, it's bigger than that. It's like a mastiff.
Huge. They're massive.
Yeah.
But, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so either an African Grey or I would love a Great Dane.
African Grey?
Parrot.
I've got a Amazonian double yellow-headed.
What? Actually. What is that?
Parrot.
Oh,
beautiful.
And they're getting on close to the extinct list in the wild.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful animal.
I've had that for 45 years now.
Mr. Charlie?
But my favorite is a dog that is an American Bulldog. I love those dogs.
I thought you were giving me a parrot. Sorry about that.
Yeah, American I love Bulldog. That parrot, though. It's great.
I'm going with a black lab or... a wolf dog.
Okay. No.
That would take care of the beagle basset.
Yeah.
Yeah, would.
Just eat it.
No anti-Semitic pets here.
We're not racist. We like black labs.
What about rye guy? What's your favorite?
Just no meth labs.
Oh.
So he wants Pongo and Purdy the Dalmatians. So with that said,
are you going to make a coat out of them?
Ooh,
not again. Good.
Okay.
Just checking.
What, the coat or the dogs?
He's not sure anymore.
Well,
because he's heard Dalmatians die.
You know the story of the Dalmatians.
Pretty aggressive.
Right. Mm-hmm. One Dalmatian.
I'll turn this way back. Okay. Because Steve is talking over here with Daniel, and we've lost control. We love you so much. Tell us your favorite animal down in the description below. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.